Great message in that song, great thought, something we need to contemplate. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. In fact, our last hymn that we sang, and of course this last special goes right along with our message. We've been talking about faith this year, man. We need to set the sails and... Ah, thanks, Russell. At least you had it down. We got one out there that's got it. Let's try it again. Set the sails and... Let God send the wind. Let God take care of the empowerment of it. I guarantee you, when you learn to do that, great things are going to happen in your life. And we've been talking about faith because we're living in days of faith. Sometimes it's hard to believe in things. Sometimes it's just hard to believe. I heard about a guy that got drafted. When he got in the Army, they assigned him to be an airborne trooper. He ended up having to jump out of airplanes, something that he was already horrified and didn't really... wasn't something he really wanted to do, but he answered the call of his country, and they told him he was going to have to learn how to jump out of an airplane. Well, they did this training, and it came down to his first jump. They said, when you jump, it's going to have a thing that pulls, and it's going to pull on the right side. It's going to pull a pin, and you count to 10, and if nothing happens, you reach over here, and you pull this one, and if you pull the one on the left, that's your reserve chute, and then when you land on the ground... There's going to be a truck there that's going to take you back to the base. They're going to deliver you back to base. So he said, all right, when I jump, it automatically is going to pull the right one. He said, that's right. He said, if it doesn't happen, I count to 10. I pull the left one. That's the reserve chute. He said, that's right. He said, then when I land at the landing zone, there's going to be a truck. It takes me all the way back to the base. He said, that's right, son. Good luck. They got in the plane. They're flying over. They get to the jump spot. Everybody starts jumping. He jumps. As he's falling, hurling through space, nothing happens. He goes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 10, and pulls the other one. Waits a second. Nothing happened. As he was hurling toward the ground, one of the other men heard him as he went by. As he said, yeah, and I bet that truck isn't going to be down there to take me back to the base either. Sometimes it's just hard to believe in things, isn't it? We go through disappointments. We go through hurts. Go through hits. Sometimes even the strongest Christians can struggle with their faith. I know the Bible says this, and I know the Bible says that, and I've always sang this, and I've always proclaimed that. Sometimes it's hard to believe in things. It's hard to believe what we are told is going to happen is going to happen. So this year, the Lord led me to take the theme of set the sails and let God send the wind and dedicate this year to preaching and teaching as the Lord leads. I don't preach every Sunday morning on it, although I have a lot lately. I won't every Sunday morning, but as the Lord leads, I'm going to bring messages on increasing your faith, because I believe we're living in days of faith. And in 2026, I'm seeking to grow you in this area. As we say in the hills of Arkansas, trying to learn you. And I believe that these are days that require faith. And as we grow closer to the great day of the return of Jesus, we will live in days that will require a strong, unconquerable, unquenchable faith. A faith that is settled, a faith that is biblically based, a faith that becomes based in the facts that we have seen as we have trusted God through the day-to-day challenges of our lives, both small challenges and great challenges, the big victories, and then those little God things that occur in the small details of our private prayer lives. Have any of you ever had a prayer answered by God? I mean, sometimes it may be something really big. Sometimes it's as simple as finding a parking spot close to the front door at the mall while it's raining. Heard about a guy that prayed on his way to work. He said, Lord, if it's your will for me to stop and get a donut, please let there be a parking spot right in front of the front door of the donut store. He comes walking into work with a dozen donuts. He said he prayed God's will for there to be a parking spot by the front door of the donut store. That was his fleece. And he said, yeah, I had to drive around it 5 times before I finally got one opened up that the Lord provided. Oh, listen, man, there's all kinds of little prayer victories. Sometimes nobody else would find it that impressive, but when you've been praying for it and suddenly you see it happen and you know in your heart that was a God thing. Who's ever had a God thing? Oh, you know that was just the hand of God that God did this. And it might have been simple, but it showed that God loves you enough to even care about the simple things in your life. And then there's those big things, those big prayer needs, those things that, man, it was mountains. And many of us have these stories that God has done something, that there's no way to explain it. There is no way other than the fact that God got involved and God intervened, and it was a modern day miracle. And nobody else may believe it, but you know it. And you've seen those things, and those things have built your faith. From those little things that we mentioned to those big things, we've seen God in the little to big challenges of our life. And our faith has grown since we got saved due to these things happening. But beloved, listen to me. Faith is crucial for a child of God. It's as crucial as water is to the fish. It's as crucial as air is to a human. We simply cannot be or become even a child of God without faith. Now, I want you to catch this. You're in Hebrews 11. Who knows what this book, this chapter of the book is nicknamed? What's the nickname of Hebrews chapter 11? Faith Hall of Fame. There's going to be some big names we're going to be reading about here in a minute. I mean, people that are the all-stars of the Bible, people whose names we immediately know their stories. There are people that are illustrative all through the Word of God, and we see the great moments of victory that they have in their story. And they're going to be remembered in this Hebrews chapter 11 and celebrated and used as an example to later Christians of how we need to be in the area of faith. Now let's look at it here, the Faith Hall of Fame, Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, if you have your pen, you should underline verse 1 and maybe write in the margin the biblical definition of faith. There we see faith defined, the substance of things hoped for. These are things hoped for, and it's what the substance is. It's the concrete in our heart for things that are hoped for. It's what we stand on. It's the substance of our hope. And then we see there, it's the evidence of things that can't be seen, can't be measured in the way that we normally scientifically measure things. What is the evidence of what we believe? Our faith. Now, I love what Brother Mike Lemoy preached a while back. We do not have a blind faith. It may start off as things that we can't see. But the more you grow in the Lord and the more victories you have, the more your faith becomes evident. The more you look back and say, there's no way that that would have happened without God. There's no way that this can be without God. There's no way there can be a creation without a creator. There's no way that that prayer could have been answered without God being behind it. And you start to see the evidences of God because you start to see with a spiritual eye, not a worldly eye. The carnal man can never see faith. He cannot recognize faith. He cannot define faith. He sees things as coincidental, things as happening by chance, things that happen by luck. Often you'll hear him talk about fate and luck. We understand that it's the hand of God, the will of God, the providence of God. When we look at the world through spiritual eyes, we start to see evidences of things that we started out believing in faith because they couldn't be seen. We start to see the evidence of it. So we see it defined here. It's a wonderful definition of faith. Then it goes on and starts to build on this definition. Look at number 2. For by it the elders obtained a good report. He says this. He says the elders, talking about Christians or people, believers in God, the saints that had lived before, they have a good testimony. That word good report is speaking of their testimony of their faith being strong. Then he's going to share some of this. Look at verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. God gave the word and the world was created. God said, let there be light, and light came. Before there was even a sun, God created light. God created through his word, and all that is in creation is here in obedience to the command of the word of God to appear. So, and it says, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. There was no pre-existing material that created the earth. The earth was created at the command and the word of God. Do you get that? Do you understand that? That's what he's saying here. We see that by faith we believe this. We understand this. We accept it in faith. And the reason we accept it in faith, none of us were there to see it happen. None of us were there when God said that for the earth to be created, when he created all the things that are in the earth. So we accept that in faith. And we admit that we do. We admit that we accept this in faith. That's what I've said over and over. The thing that makes me so mad about the non-believing in God crowd is they won't admit that they live in faith. They act like they believe in facts, and there are no facts. Every fact they go back to goes back to a point that you have to believe in faith that something was created out of nothing. Now, I believe that something was created out of nothing. It came from the word and the command of God. God created an earth where there was no earth. He didn't take prior materials and fashion the earth. God spoke the earth into existence. Okay? You know, we admit that. Why is it so hard for them to admit that they believe what they believe in faith? Because it destroys the whole foundation and premise of their criticism toward us. They have to accept in faith that there was an explosion in space that exploded out of nothing. There, if they believe there has to be a previous existing thing to create another thing, then where did their thing start? And what was before that thing? And you have to keep going back. We believe it all goes back to God. Now, you want to really get a headache, ask yourself, where did God come from? I don't know. God says he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. That he was here before all is that is, and he will be here for always. God didn't feel the need to explain to us anything about him personally. Didn't feel the need to tell us anything about his private life. All I know is the Bible says, in the beginning, God, then it says, created the heaven and the earth. So we know this fact, in the beginning, there's God. Then came heaven and earth from God. So in the beginning, God. Everything started with him. That's exciting, isn't it? I love that. I love that. I don't know when we get to heaven if we'll understand more of that. But I know that any way you want to try to fillet this fish, it's going to go back to faith. Anyway. Any method, anything that's out there, any explanation that has been given for the origins of this earth and mankind, it goes back to you believing that somewhere along the line, something came out of nothing. I accept that out of nothing, God created something because he's God and he is the great creator, as he's called over and over again. And in faith, we accept that in faith. I don't need the science to back it up or prove it. I don't need science to figure it all out. The Word of God says it. I accept it. I stand on that. I believe it. And my faith tells me that God is the creator of all. Who's with me on that? Amen. All right. We may all be crazy, but we'll be crazy together. Amen. Amen. I heard about a guy. Brother Dan Wickham, you'll get a kick out of this. Heard about a guy that was driving his car down the road, and his front tire fell off. He got out and looked at it. The tire was laying over in the ditch. He thought, my goodness, my tire just came off. My lug nuts came loose. What in the world, man? And he looked up, and there was a big old fence there, about 10 foot high, barbed wire on it. As he looked closer, there were people walking around in, like, white hospital gowns. He realized that he had broken down in front of an insane asylum. As he looked closer, one of the men walked over to the gate and just stood there looking at him, staring at him. He's figuring out, what am I going to do, man? The tire's laying on. Finally, the man standing there behind the gate in the white gown said, why don't you take one lug nut off of the other three tires and put the tire on it And that'll hold it until you can get to a hardware store and buy another set of lug nuts. The man looked at him and said, wow, that's great. He said, that's awesome. He said, what are you doing in there? He said, oh, I'm crazy. I'm not stupid. That was free. I just thought of it just now. I didn't even have that in the notes. Didn't plan it. For the ones that are mad that I made you laugh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I just, you know, just came out. Oh, listen, faith tells us that things that other people would say is crazy, things that we can't prove, things that we can't see or prove with our senses, we believe in it in faith. And through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found. What a beautiful story. Well, the hard part for me is I'm reading through Hebrews 11, and every one of these verses is going to make me want to stop and preach what's there. Whew, so much there. Man, I love the story of Enoch. It's a picture of the rapture. It's a picture of the rapture. There's so much there. Oh, man, Lord, help me. I got to get through this. Woo! All right, I'm going to read on. Even though I'm trembling here and wanting to go at it, I feel like a pit bull looking at a well-done steak sitting on a plate in front of him. I'm salivating. Let's look at verse 6. But without faith, catch this now, and you might want to underline it, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, get this, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That word seek, man, it's talking about following after him. Now, if you have your pen, you ought to underline verse 6. We'll come back to that in a minute. Verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. Oh, here's a hard word in the Bible. Some of y'all might want to plug your ears. Obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. The word promise, it's things promised to them, things that hadn't happened yet, but they lived in the hope of that promise. Look at verse 10. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Hey, listen, she was about 60 years past age. It was a miracle. Somebody say amen. Amen. She was near 100 years old when she gave birth to her first child, and God did it that way so that there would be a faith illustration here, that the glory and the power and the honor would go to God, and that they would build their faith through trusting in God and seeing something miraculous happen in that trust. She was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. We know that she struggled. We all know the story, and we know some very bad things came out of that moment of lapse of faith, but we know in the end they continued to believe. Verse 12, therefore spring there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. That's talking about what sprang out of her and Abraham, a nation called Israel, that you cannot number them. The Jews are innumerable. They all came from this promise given to Abraham and Sarah. And it didn't come easy. It came through painful believing and waiting and patience. Look at verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You know, they died believing that the things of God that he told them would happen, but they never saw the fruition of that in their lifespan. Abraham and Sarah never saw a nation called Israel. They never saw their family become bigger than the seas on the sand on the seas, the sand of the desert, or the stars of the sky. They died believing in something that they would never get to see themselves. It would happen later after their lifespans were over. And that was noteworthy. They decided to point that out. Verse 14, "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had an opportunity to have returned, but now they desire a better country." Do you know there's something better? Y'all know there's something better out there? Y'all believe that? You really believe there's a heaven? I was talking to Brother Smith's daughters. We were all at a table yesterday. We were talking about how beautiful the blessed hope really is. Avery, you were there with me. Beautiful conversation about what would you do in a time like this if you didn't believe that one day there was a heaven? How would you deal with death if you didn't believe there's something better after this? You know, if they could find a way to prove the Bible's completely incorrect and that there's no heaven and that we're all been duped, and if they could figure this out, if archaeology or science or whoever it is that would want to do that, if they did it tomorrow and could prove inconclusively that there is no God and no heaven, that we're all just here until we die, and it's like turning off a light and it's just done, I would want them to keep their data to themselves. I don't want to hear it. I believe that I have a happier life because I believe there's something better. How would you like to think? How would you like to truly believe that right now, as you live today, is the best it's ever going to be for you ever, ever? Eric said, "I'm yawning at that point, man." Whew. Travis, how would you like to think that your life right now is the best it's ever going to be? That's pretty, you know, that's not really a happy thought, is it? And I'm not saying you have a bad life. I am saying this. The idea that there's something better is a beautiful hope. There's temporary hope. If you're in a crummy job, you wake up every day hoping that your job will get better, or that a better job's out there awaiting. I mean, Timmy, you're at Whataburger. How would you like to think that's where you're going to be in 50 years? Or maybe that was your plan. I don't know. Hey, you know what? Maybe that's not the job that God has for you when you're 60 years old.
I hope not either.
I hope not. But, you know, right now it's God's plan for you. And it's doing something for you, and it's providing for bills that you have. And it helps you provide to buy a burger for your pastor once in a while, like you did the other day. I was so proud of you. But you get up every day knowing this is for today, but I have hope of a better day. I mean, this isn't the best it's ever going to be. It's going to be something better one day. And I'm working towards something better. Okay, you and I are going through life, and there are purposes in our life, but we wake up every day knowing there's a better place. There's a better place, a better country. Oh, man, that blessed hope is such a beautiful, beautiful gift that our faith gives to us that those without faith do not have. And I feel sad for them. I don't envy them. I don't want to be like them. I don't want you to bring me your science to tell me why there's no God. I'm happy believing in God. I'm happy believing that there's a heaven. Now, when we both die, you may be right. Absolutely. What did I lose? But if I'm right and you were wrong, woo! Somebody said eternity is a bad time to realize you were wrong. Eternity is a long time to spend in regret. I got a whole outline, and I'm not even able to get through. I'm going to be out of time before I get done reading Hebrews 11. There's so much here. It's been good, though, hasn't it? Are we having fun?
Amen.
Some good stuff. I love reading the Bible. It brings hope. Verse 16 is about hope. Now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Oh, man, I can't preach on that. So much there. Don't have time. Look at verse 18. Of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to rise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You see how his faith helped him to do right? You see that connection there? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Look at verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect under the recompense of the reward. Do you see how Moses' faith helped him to choose something greater over something that was just temporary? His faith helped him to make a right choice in his life. Look at verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished, not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed violent in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sown asunder. That meant they were cut in half for the cause and glory of Jesus. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts. This is our heritage, the saints of the early church. They were greatly persecuted, in dens and caves of the earth. And these all having obtained a good report, a good testimony, if you will, through their faith, through faith. Their faith gives them a good ending to the story. Received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. It says there that they did not received not the promise. You know, there were Christians that understood the promise of the return of Jesus, but did not live to see it, but believed in it nonetheless. That may be the case for some of us. We may be the generation that sees the shout and the clouds roll back and the glory of Jesus appear in the clouds. We may be gathered up to meet him. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And boy, that'd be a great day if we can bypass death and be with Jesus. And those early saints hoped and thought and believed that they would see it. But they died without seeing that promise come to fruition. But it did not make the promise of non-effect. The promise is still in effect, even though they did not see it fulfilled. Beloved, you and I have the blessed hope that Jesus is coming for us. And we hope for it. We hope for it. We pray for it. We may not see it, but it doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. And one day there will be a generation that will see that promise fulfilled. Oh, what a wonderful chapter. And I want to, out of these thoughts, present something really quickly to you. I'm going to give you really quickly four reasons a strong faith is crucial for a child of God. Four reasons why it's crucial. It's not optionary. You got to have a strong faith. If you're going to follow Jesus, this is not something that you can do with it or do without it. You've got to work on it. You've got to build it. And here it is. Number one, if you don't have a strong faith, you will not be able to believe in the existence of the Lord in the first place without faith. In other words, if you don't have a strong faith, if you don't have faith, you will not be able to accept the Lord as your Savior. Do you know that? Now, many of you have already conquered that step. But if you're here today and you're on the fence about getting saved, it all will go down to this fact. Do you have the faith that God is real, that He exists, that Jesus is the Son of God, and that He will save you if you ask Him to? There are a lot of people who cannot place their faith in what I just said. They cannot place their faith that there is a God. They cannot place their faith in the belief that Jesus is the Son of God, and they cannot put their faith in the fact that Jesus can save them. Listen to what Hebrews 11:6 tells us. We read it a minute ago, but let's read it again. I had you underline it. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For, catch this, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is. You must believe in God, or you won't come to Him. You'll never seek Him. And it says that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God has this great thing called forgiveness for you, but if you don't even believe He exists or that He can do what He said He's going to do, it all stops right there. So if you do not have faith in your life, you will never even get saved. You will never trust Jesus as your Savior. You'll never come to a true place of belief that there is a God in the heavens. And although people in this room could say, man, that's hard to believe, there are many people not in this room who do not believe in the existence of God, much less Jesus. Are you all aware of that? You're aware there's a lot of people out there that don't believe and love Jesus the way you do? And what's the issue? They can't have the faith to believe in Him. It stopped right there. Stopped right there. Faith is the key to salvation. Romans 5:1-3 says this, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. What he's saying there, we know that when we go through hard times, it builds our faith. It exercises it. The word worketh means to exercise it. It strengthens it. But we see that the access to this grace is through what? Faith, in verse 2. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. What is the doorway into this salvation? It starts with you having faith. Faith in God. Faith in the Son of God. Listen to what Ephesians 2:8-9 says. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans 3:28 says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Over and over again, we see that faith is crucial. Why is it crucial? Well, you're not going to get saved without it. You're never going to come to the Lord without believing that He is the Lord. Matthew 18:1. Listen to this carefully. Listen carefully. I'm going to read four verses. Listen very carefully. Verse 1, Matthew 18:1, if you want to turn there. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto Him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, verily I say unto you, now catch this, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. We know this. It takes a strong faith to place your trust in the Lord. Yet the Word of God tells us that even a child can do it. Y'all listening to me? Even a child can do it. You know, there's some things I've learned as I've grown older. There's some things that's easier for a child. You notice that? You ever notice how flexible little kids are? I'm at that point in life, if I drop something and I have to reach down here and get it, I wonder to myself, is there anything else I could be doing while I'm already down here? So much work. Things pop and crack. Sometimes I get down there and I wonder if I'm going to get back up. You watch little kids, though, man, they're flexible. I remember when we were little junior basketball and they make us do those stretch things. All those stretch exercises, they didn't bother me, man. We were just flexible. Little kids are flexible. Hey, little kids have a lot of energy. How many of you ever take your kids out to the park and just let them run? Get them out of the house for a minute. Make them go outside. My mother used to literally make me go outside and run laps around the house because I was driving her crazy with all my energy. Boy, I'd love to have that now. If I want to run one lap around this little section right here, I'm going to need oxygen. I'm going to be sitting over there huffing and puffing. And little kids, man, they're always full of energy, and they should. It's good. It's good that a child's got energy. One day they're going to look for that energy and wonder where it went, but man, it's good to see kids that got some energy, running and jumping and going longer than we can without exhausting ourselves. I've taken teenagers on hikes and stuff as an adult man, and man, we're done, and I'm ready to get in the car, and I'm dragging them. I can't wait to go home and just crash, and they're asking, what's next? Where are we going now? It's like, what in the world? It's hard to exhaust youth. Sometimes there's things easier for a child. Sometimes recovering from an injury. When I was young, I could spring an ankle or something and in a couple days be right back at it. As I've gotten older, recovery's a little harder. It takes a little longer. You know, learning and memorizing things, easier to a child. That's why they go to school. During the years they go to school, their mind is clear and not completely full of clutter as an adult mind would be. They're a lot easier to train, and kids have, study after study shows, kids can memorize things a lot easier and better than a mature adult. Somebody asked me for my wife's phone number the other day. I said, okay, and I pulled up my phone. She goes, you don't know your wife's phone number? And I said, man, I haven't had to dial a phone number in a long time. I programmed it in the day you gave it to me. All I got to do is just say your name now and you come right up. I don't have to memorize stuff like that like I used to. But I mean, there was a time when I can still remember the phone number from the first house I ever lived in. 262-4389, Hot Springs, Arkansas, 100 Tehiba Lane. Don't ask me what the address is for where I live now. But I was 6 years old when we moved from that house and that phone number. I still remember that. As an adult, things get harder. You know, along this list of things that are just easier for a child, it is an absolute fact that believing and trusting in things is easier for a child. And therefore, Jesus uses the child as an illustration. A child like faith is a faith. A little child doesn't ask for a bunch of evidence and proof. They believe. They have a simple belief. God wants us to believe as a child would believe in Him. You grow in your maturity, you grow in your understanding. But that childlike faith, it just accepts. Little children believe. You can take any little kid and stick them up on a counter and ask them to jump, they'll jump to you. I used to burn Julian all the time with stuff. I'd tell him to do things. One time I told him, I said, son, I want you to run to the end of the park here. I'm going to time you and see how fast you are. So he ran all the way down there and back. He's all huffing and puffing. He said, that was my, I said, oh, son, I forgot to time it. Do it again. I did it to him two or three times like that. Just trying to help him burn that energy, amen. Hey. We must believe in God as a child will believe in their parents. But without this faith, we will never be able to trust Jesus as our Savior. Your salvation depends on your faith. Catch this. Listen to this. Listen carefully. Luke 7, verse 44. Listen to this carefully. It says, "And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they sat at meat with him. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Now catch this, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." Notice he didn't say your service has saved you. He didn't say your sacrifice has saved you. He didn't look at her and say your goodness towards me has saved you. He didn't look at her and say your kindness. He said your faith. Beloved, if you're here today and you've not trusted Jesus as your Savior, it is imperative that you place your faith in Christ, because without believing in Jesus, it is impossible for you to have eternal life. And that is as plain as I can put it. It goes to Jesus. You've got to have your faith in Him. I've got to hustle here. I'm skipping through some things. Got to get down here. Okay, let's go to the second point here. I hope that you will Second point is this. Are you ready for this? Without faith, you will not be able to please and serve the Lord. Without faith, you will not be able to please and serve the Lord. Now, once you get saved, it's important that you enter into service. Salvation should lead you to service for Jesus. Three things should happen in a Christian's life upon their conversion. There's salvation. That ought to lead us to separation. So there's salvation. Then there ought to be separation. We ought to come out of the world and seek to be like Jesus. And then there's service. Those three S's. Salvation, separation, service. And we must be able to believe and have faith in Jesus if we're going to serve Him. I'm looking at the clock. I'm completely out of time. So I'm just going to have to cut this sermon here. But there are three more thoughts. Lord willing, I'll bring them next Sunday morning. I want you to bow your heads. If I tried to push on, I would shortchange a lot of good teaching that you'll need, and I believe the Lord would have me to stop now. But I believe I've given you this first point, and I believe that first point was meant for somebody. It's possible there's somebody in this room that is lost. You are not saved, and the reason is simple. You have not placed your faith in Jesus. You've not placed your faith in Jesus. But my friend, if you can have faith like a child, quit overthinking it. Quit looking for the evidence. Believe in something even though you can't see it, because ultimately you're believing in something you can't see anyway. Either way you choke it, you're looking at a life of faith. You better have enough faith that there is no God to hang your eternity on it. I don't. I believe there is a God. And my faith has led me to identify Him as Jehovah. And I have identified Jesus to be the only begotten Son of God. Now, my faith is not a blind faith. There are things that I now understand that have solidified my faith into fact. And one day you will have that. But it's going to start out with you choosing to believe. Can you do it? Why haven't you done it? Why haven't you accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Everybody in this room that got saved, there was a moment that your faith told you to accept Jesus. We're not saved by works. We're not saved by the laws and the deeds of the law. It's faith that brings about that salvation. Would there be anybody here that could say, I remember the day I found enough faith to trust Jesus as my Savior, and I remember the day I got saved? Would you raise your hand as a testimony? I remember the day I put my faith in Christ. Man, hands everywhere. It was faith. Now, I promise you, if you're honest and you really think about it, your faith has solidified into more fact. Where you stand now, it's more on fact, but it started out as something you believed, even though there was no evidence to be seen of it. You just chose it like a child, believing. I wonder, is there anyone that could say, preacher, I couldn't raise my hand. I could not raise my hand that I've asked Jesus to save me, but I'm ready to put my faith in him. Would you just slip your hand up and put it right back down? I see that hand. I see that hand. Anybody else who would be honest? We've got one that says, I need it. I need to do it today. In a moment, I'm going to ask everybody to stand. And this brother that raised his hand, brother, when I ask you to stand, won't you come up and meet this brother right here in the front? He's standing right here, Brother Stevens. He's got people that are ready to help you in a private room and help you take the faith that you have right now. That little spark will fan that thing for you. I guarantee you the information we'll give you will help you. I hope you'll seize this moment. Dear Father, you saw the hand that was raised. You saw the young man that raised his hand. Lord, give him peace, courage, and above all, this shield of faith. Lord, I pray that he'll come forward and with what faith he has, put it in you. Because therein lies the doorway to salvation, faith in Jesus. And if he can find that faith, he can have eternal life through Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray he'll do it. Don't let the devil turn him away. Let the Holy Spirit bring him forward. Now, Lord, there may be others in the room who need to do it too, and I pray that they'll come forward and do it. Pray that they'll do what's best for them. Now, Lord, build our faith. Let us learn to set the sails and let you send the wind in our life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Let's stand together.